Welcome back to Through the Word, Psalm 65 today, a psalm about a journey. Having left your village before dawn a few early mornings back, you've been traveling for days now, and you're tired. It's late September, and you can smell the autumn breeze. You can feel the seasons changing. You'll make it in time for the series of feasts, starting with the Feast of Trumpets in the first week of October, followed 8 days later by the Day of Atonement, followed yet another 5 days later by the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Harvest. 3 holidays in 3 weeks. You're glad to go to Jerusalem to worship a God that loves life, unlike the pagan gods who crave death. This God of yours loves to celebrate. 2 festivals of joy, broken up in the middle by a day for repenting, confessing, and receiving forgiveness from God. You're nearer the city now. You can make out the hills of Jerusalem, one of them known as Mount Zion, an affectionate term for the city of God itself. You can't wait to get there and celebrate, to worship. You're almost there, and as your caravan sees the city walls cresting the ridgeline in the distance, the familiar opening to Psalm 65 breaks out in song from the people all around you. Verse 1. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. It's a tradition to sing these on your way in. Vows, promises, and not just any promises. The vows of the covenant, the binding agreement that God made with his people long ago. I will be your God, and you will be my people. This worship was all about relationship. God had promised them blessings if they kept the covenant and threatened with curses if they didn't, but only to bring them back into relationship. You see, God always keeps his end of the bargain, but we humans, not so much. That's why God provided sacrifice when he made the covenant. If we didn't keep our end of the bargain, we could still keep the relationship. An innocent animal would be slain symbolically to show that someone had to suffer the curse of disobedience. And on the Day of Atonement, the middle feast you were heading to Jerusalem for, that would be done for the entire nation. That's why verse 3 says, "When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions." The Day of Atonement preceded the Harvest Festival by a mere 5 days. You got to experience both sides of the covenant in this journey. On the Day of Atonement, God deals with the curse of disobedience through sacrifice. And you mourned your sin that day. You felt the weight of what you'd done. But then, 5 days later, you celebrated God's abundant blessing. Fertile land, abundant harvest, and full storehouses. This was a harvest festival after all, but the biggest blessing to you was the blessing of God himself. And in verse 4, you sing about it. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. Blessed are those you bring near. Blessed. 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 Where have I heard that word before? Oh yeah, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, just like the Day of Atonement. Blessedness is the reward of being in relationship with God. He wants you near. If you've been paying attention to the Psalms at all, you can see that that's what both David and God wanted. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. The Feast of Tabernacles involved you making booths out of palm branches, and then you and your whole family would camp out in them to remember what it was like when God led the people, provided for them, and protected them, just like he did for you now. Once a year, you'd sleep out under the stars and remember when God camped in the midst of his people as they moved through the wilderness. But now, you were camping with him out on the streets in Jerusalem in the squares, in the temple courts. This was the way that you drew near to him today. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Within the holy temple were storehouses of grain brought in from people's offerings, meat for sacrifices, wine to be poured out on the altar, and barrels full of oil. The temple was a place of abundance, and the worshipers feel that abundance and fullness personally as they bring their donations in. They are giving from the abundance of God's blessing to them, but they're giving it back to God. But notice that they feel full. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And with God, this has always been a two-way street. He answers these sacrifices, the fulfilling of their vows to bring in the first fruits of their harvest in verse 5. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth, and of the farthest seas, the hope of the ends of the earth. Hear that again, the hope of the ends of the earth. Earlier he had said, all people shall come to you. Have you ever had something so good, so amazing, you just had to share it? Well, that's how products used to go viral before the internet. The Rubik's Cube, Magic Eye, ranch dressing. People found these things were so good, they just had to tell someone. And that's what David knows about God. All people will come to God when they see how good God is to his people. David knows that when others see God's blessing, they will want a share in it too. Over the years, we've actually watched this happen as all the nations of the world look to the God of Israel, and he is worshipped worldwide. And he's made a new covenant with the entire world, which is fitting because God created the entire world. He's not just a local deity or a tribal totem. He is the creator of the entire earth. Verse 8 says, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. No matter where people are tonight, all over the globe, people will stop and turn to the sunset and be filled with awe and wonder at the beauty and majesty of what they've seen many times before when evening fades. But then, as morning dawns, many people at those moments experience the need to worship. They just don't know who to direct it to. But David does. He doesn't take anything for granted in this psalm. He knows who to thank in verse 9 at this harvest fest. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. Nobody prays like a farmer. Nobody needs to. Rain is a gift from God. You can credit the farmer's almanac all you want, but David credits God's blessing. Verse 10, you drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften its showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow, and the hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. The entire landscape is overbrimming with worship to God, singing through its abundance his praises. The hills are clothed with gladness or wine as the vineyards creep up and down the slopes. The valleys wear stalks of grain like a mantle, and even the wilderness springs up grass after the abundance of rain. All of this is evident of God's blessing. You crown the year with abundance. It's not as evident to us today as non-Jews what David is speaking of here. Remember, there were three feasts. And the one we haven't talked about, the first one you celebrated after arriving into Jerusalem, was the New Year celebration, the Feast of Trumpets, where you blew in the New Year. The fields were ripe unto harvest, and you came and started every year by getting right with God, confessing, repenting, and starting over. My friend, we don't have to wait for the New Year to do that. Christ has come, the one who earned all the blessings of the covenant for us and gave us life more abundant. Rejoice in the blessings today. He doesn't just crown every year with His abundance. He crowns every day, every hour with His blessing to those who are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.